Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Inside Scoop Live, the live audio program brought to you by ReaderViews.com. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and today I have invited on the program author Judith Ashley, and we are going to be talking about her powerful new book titled Into the Silence, The Power of Stillness in Living and Dying. I love this. One of Judith's sons actually call her an enlightened gypsy, partly due to the fact that her professional career as a human resources consultant has taken her to 11 countries, and the five of which she was fortunate enough to live in were France, Switzerland, the Bahamas, the U.S., and England, where she was born and grew up. So as a global diversity strategist, Judith designed and facilitated management development opportunities that focused on appreciating and respecting the uniqueness of each individual and improving employee relations as well as the bottom line. The exposure to so much diversity has given Judith a broad perspective on humanity and many skills. Yet when she became the primary caregiver to her terminally ill mother, she found that the skills and perspectives that she had gained were not all that were needed to serve her dying mother's needs. Judith has written her new book, Into the Silence, really to honor her remarkable mother's approach to life and death and to share what she considers to be the real essential aspect of giving truly compassionate care. Judith Ashley is a woman who loves the creative process and continuously lives in wonder as she witnesses the creative process unfolding in the present moment, in the world at large, and especially in her relationships. So I'm just so happy to have Judith Ashley on the phone today to talk about her new book and her wonderful perspective on life. So welcome to Inside Scoop Live, Judith.
Thank you so much, Juanita. I'm so privileged to be here with you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for joining us today, and really congratulations on the publication of this book, Into the Silence. This is actually your first book, isn't it?
Yes, it is indeed my first book, and it was a long time in coming and was an unfolding process that I found to be very thrilling, very cathartic, very exciting.
Wonderful. Well, I know it's been getting just amazing, amazing reviews. So, you know, that says something right there. Why do you think people are responding so well to it?
Well, I've heard from many readers already via email, and I've spoken to many people who have read it when I've done some book promotions. And I find that it is such a universal experience to lose somebody we love, depending on our age, of course, and depending on the health and well-being of our families or friends. So when people have read Into the Silence, it touches them very deeply, not only from the perspective of awakening some memories, but also to provide some healing for them if they've had any regrets or second thoughts about maybe they could have done something different at the time they were losing somebody close to them. And they've been able to examine that and to find healing through reading Into the Silence, which I have found to be wonderful. They've also, so many have told me that it's really like two love stories, the wonderful loving relationship that deepened so much in the last weeks of my mother's life, her relationship with me, and also my relationship with HB, my husband, to whom I wrote over 50 letters, which comprise a large part of Into the Silence.
I'm happy that you mentioned that, because this book really, there are so many layers to this story. It's not just, you know, the day-by-day account of caring for your mother. I mean, it really is a deeply spiritual book. It's a very healing book. So I'm really happy that you touched on that. So why don't you kind of take us back to the beginning when this story started?
Yes, I can do that. My father died in 1976, And I would go to see my mother annually because she lived in England and I was living in the U.S. And I would always take my vacation and go and see her. And it was a few years after my father died that something my mother said prompted me to write to her when I returned home. And I asked her if she had a choice, how she would prefer to spend the last days of her life or weeks of her life, how she might like to be cared for. And she wrote me a wonderful letter, which is in Into the Silent, verbatim, as all the letters are. And she said that if she was well enough, meaning not senile, she would like to die at home in her own bed. So I wrote back and said that I absolutely promise that if that's the circumstance, you don't die suddenly, that you are, in fact, at home and need care, and that you will not die in a hospital. She did not want that at all. Mm-hmm. So that happened probably around 1981 or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1997, and there's some obviously some intervening years there where a great deal happened in her life and mine, she, in 1996, she came to stay with me and HB in New Mexico, where we were living at the time, and it turned out to be her last vacation with us. And she, I took her home after her 10-week holiday, and 2 weeks later she had an emergency surgery. And I went rushing back to England to be with her. And the story really begins there, because when the doctor gave her a prognosis of 12 months to live, she said she was going to need my help. And just describing that process is in the book also. And it was at that particular time that the actual story began. But the decision to write the book was 5 or 6 years after she died, when HB and I were moving yet again. We move a great deal. And she, he found the letters that I had written to him, and he gave them back to me. And when I read them through, I just felt compelled to share who my mother was and continues to be in my heart with anyone who has ever loved, because she was an extraordinary woman. And she loved life, and she lived it very, very fully. And she entered her last year with that same spirit of living her life fully and getting closure on things that were important to her.
Mm-hmm. She sounds like just such an inspirational woman to you. Was she like that through her whole life?
Well, actually, I would say she wasn't. She was always who she was, so gracious, so dignified, always so modest and self-effacing. She was inspiring in many ways, but not in the same way that she inspired me in the last year of her life. And I think that was because I was included more, because as I traveled around the world for work, I had agreed that I would be in contact with her very regularly during her last year to support her. And I used to call her every day at noon from wherever I was in the world, noon Greenwich Mean Time. And I found her to be so inspiring, so open and welcoming of tough questions about what do you need to do before you die, and building on those questions almost every day, to the point where I could say to her, have you thought about what you want to be laid out in after your death? So the questions became very intimate, and I was so inspired by her willingness to receive the questions, to give them serious consideration, never, ever close down to anything that I asked her at all, and to just with great gusto enter all of the things she wanted to complete during those final 52 weeks. And it was just an extraordinary experience. So always inspiring, but much more deeply inspiring for me, because I had such intimate contact with her in her last year, which I had not had for the previous 30.
Well, how amazing for you to have that opportunity in the last year. A blessing, really.
Truly, truly a blessing. And I was so privileged and honored. And, if, you know, the everybody approaches life differently, and everybody approaches death differently. And it's a subject that's not spoken of very openly in the West. And I found that the Into the Silence is really giving people permission to, readers are giving themselves permission to look at it with more openness, and to be able to speak about it with less hesitancy and just have more of a relationship with the idea that, you know, we are all going to die, and to be able to talk about it more openly, I think, is very helpful to people.
And it's healthy, much, much more healthy than not talking about it.
I think it's very healthy. In fact, I find the subject really interesting and fascinating. And when I do find people who are willing to talk about it, they do too, that how important it is for us to live fully and to have our relationships be whole and to say things that need to be said and get things done that need to be done and maybe do some things we've always wanted to do and don't want to regret having missed doing.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
To, you know, to just not have any regrets and to leave things in order, both for your own peace of mind and for those who have to take care of your business afterwards.
Yes, yes. You know, I love the way you talk about taking care of your mother is really your deepest privilege, and I've read that or heard that somewhere else that was how you felt, and I wonder when you came to that realization or if it was always there, because I'm sure that, you know, other people that may be going through a similar situation or maybe haven't completely healed, you know, the death of a parent or a loved one already, how they could possibly get to that point where they feel that being a caregiver really was a privilege.
Well, as I said a little bit earlier, we all approach life and death uniquely.
Mm-hmm.
And I've found that some people just cannot do it.
Mm-hmm.
I've spoken to some readers who have told me stories of just not being able to see their mother when she was dying because they wanted to hold the memory that they had of her being healthy and well, and it was so painful. And to give people permission to do it their way, I think, is essential. Those who want to take care of someone they love when they're dying, I just applaud them and tell them go for it, because it truly is the greatest privilege and honor. And those who find it too painful or too difficult and they can't break through that, I think they need to be given permission also to approach the death and dying of a loved one the way that is best for them. Because ultimately, I think if we force ourselves to do something that is so, so difficult, that energy carries over to the patient, carries over to the dying person, and it's perhaps not as comfortable for them to know that you're doing something that is terribly difficult.
Yes, that's a,
so
that's a good point.
I just think people need to think about how will I handle that and give themselves permission to do it in a way that honors the dying person and themselves, and to tell that dying person, you know, this is how I feel, talk to them on the phone if you can't see them, and tell them you love them and that you want to remember them the way they were. And it's okay. Any way we choose is the right way.
That's it. That's a great, great point. So you have your husband, you have children, siblings. How did your whole family, was there a different grief process for everybody? And how does your family's process make it into the book?
Well, I can tell you that my mother lived alone, and my sister lived fairly close by.
Mm-hmm.
Both my brothers lived in Europe, one in France and at the time and one in Spain. And when my mother called me to tell me it was time to come, the doctor actually told her she had about 3 weeks left, and she told me it was time to come to care for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she, in fact, lived another 6 weeks, which I was so grateful for. And when I arrived, of course, my sister was there, and she had been not caring for my mother, but able to support her by her physical presence, visiting her quite regularly, but she did no home care at all. So she was there and relieved that I had arrived and could literally, quote unquote, take over what needed to be done from a family perspective and give her a break, give my sister a break. She still came to see my mother on a regular basis, and she is in the book in that way. And she handled my mother's dying quite differently from me. She is my sister's very sensitive woman and finds illness to be quite difficult to handle. So she approached it quite differently. One of my brothers came to stay during the process, probably a week or so after I had arrived, and he stayed at the house, and he did things like shopping, and he cooked occasionally, and he spent time with my mother on a daily basis, but he would not talk about it other than to say that she might completely recover or she might be dying today or tomorrow. I mean, we all just handle things so differently,
mm-hmm.
and to honor that, I think, is essential. So I just observed how we were, my sister and that particular brother from Spain, how we were in the process, all facing it differently, all having our own reality about what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Did you know that audiobooks are the fastest growing publication in the book publishing industry, with over $1 billion in sales annually? And did you know that over 40 million audiobooks were sold last year? This clearly shows that millions of avid readers enjoy listening to books in their cars, while at work, traveling, and even while exercising or walking. Not only that, many individuals with vision issues rely on audiobooks to access the literary world. If you are an author interested in taking the next step with your book and tapping into an entirely new audience, we can help you turn your manuscript into a professionally produced audiobook. Visit us at readerviews.com and click on the Services for Authors tab in the top menu bar. There you will find a list of services we provide, plus a link to get the information you need to turn your work into an audiobook. The potential of the audiobook has been proven and may just be the ideal next step for you in promoting your masterpiece. Go to readerviews.com today.
And now back to Inside Scoop Live with your host, Juanita Watson.
And then my older brother, he arrived probably 2 weeks prior to my mother's death, and he stayed for a few days and left again.
Wow.
And he was with her on a regular basis during that time and was able to help a little bit. But he also didn't want to talk about it. So we did not, I talked about it with my sister, but my brothers and I did not talk about my mother dying.
Mm-hmm.
In England, I've got a little bit of an English accent left, if you've noticed.
Oh, yes.
In England, we are such a stoic culture.
Yes.
And the stiff upper lip is so important, and grieving in public in our family was absolutely not allowed. So my brother didn't want us to have any sadness showing when my mother died, and of course I would just go to my room and weep and have my own experience, because I think it's really essential to grieve when you feel like you must grieve.
Yeah.
I think it's essential to
absolutely.
Do it.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you can. So I would grieve quite openly in my own room there, but my siblings did not. It was not something that they allowed themselves to do, and maybe because I live in the States and I've taken on some of the American culture, I'm able to express my feelings more readily than if I had remained in England. And HB was going through, we didn't know it when I left the States to be with my mother, but his mother had a fall and decided that she would not continue living.
Oh, wow.
And she actually died, and it's written about in the book. So he had his own mother's death before my mother died, while I was gone. And he dealt with that quite differently from me, but he was such an incredible support for me being in England with my mother. And he wrote to my mother every day, and he just loved her very dearly.
So he was in the U.S.?
He had his experience, again, with not only with me and my mother dying, but his own. And then my children, my daughter had a very close relationship with her grandmother, And she wrote her a very beautiful letter and would call me quite regularly and offer me support. And that's one of the essential things for anyone going through that experience, I think, is to have support from people who know what you're doing, who love you and want to support you and give you support and comforting words and letters of encouragement or phone calls of encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
I think those were essential. And so my daughter had conversation with my mother and wrote to her and got closure in the relationship, which she wanted, and my oldest son did the same thing, wrote to her, and both of those letters are in Into the Silence. And my youngest son talked to me, but I don't recall that he did talk to his grandmother. He's told me since that he did, but as I didn't write it down, I can't verify that. Because I wrote these letters home to HB every single day, sometimes 2, 3, 4 times a day.
Wow, how many letters did you have?
There were over 50, and it was over a period of 8 weeks. And you know, Juanita, what was so wonderful about that was that as I expressed all that was going on during the day, from the routine care to the most sublime, incredible moments of intimacy with my mother, I found that the writing was, the actual act of writing, emptied out my mind, emptied out these rollercoasting emotions that I had.
Well, I wonder what the process would have been like for you with the emotion, with, you know, the emotional ride. It must have been overwhelming at times.
Well, it was, but I found through a wonderful teacher that I have that the way to be in the world is to be as present as we can to this moment, like you and I now talking on the program, and to be present and recognize when our mind is just running away with thoughts about the past, regrets, or thoughts about worrying about the future, and thinking about, oh, what's it going to be like when my mother's gone, and noticing what the mind does, because it really does have a life of its own.
It does.
And to somehow step back from that and witness it and say, yep, my mind is running away into the future, but I need to be here right now to pay attention to what's going on for my mother, what's going on for me, and be at peace with it so that I can bring that stillness, which is also what Into the Silence is about, to bring that stillness to the moment and be in it so that you're so alert and aware to every nuance or voice inflection or expression that you can really be present to what is needed. And not only in that situation, but in every situation.
In life in general.
Yeah,
and I love that about the stillness. And I wanted for you to talk a little more about how stillness really is weaving its way through your work. You know, it's a part of the title of this book. It's a part of the message of this book. I know you've written some poetry, and there's, you know, reflections of that that I've seen on your website. And just want to know where that comes from and what stillness really means to you and how you want to carry that message with Into the Silence.
Yeah, I'll be really happy to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And what's so strange is that words really only point to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a describable experience in words. Mm-hmm. It's like if you throw a ball for a dog and the dog thinks you still have it in your hand and you're pointing to where the ball is, and you're saying, it's there, and the dog's just staring at your hand. Well, the words that describe stillness, it's like, don't just stare at the hand, you know, don't just listen to the words, but look where they're pointing.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, stillness is something every single being has within them. It's the essence of who we are, and our mind is so busy with our thoughts and our egos are so needy to survive that we often miss that essence of who we are, that stillness within. And the only way that I can point to it really is to say, in a situation where we're just relaxed and we suddenly hear a sound and we can't identify it, and we say, listen, and we stop, and all our attention goes into that moment, to try and hear what it was. And in that moment, we are actually in the stillness.
Oh.
Our mind is not going. Our ego's not at work. We are just paying attention to the moment. And we're actually hoping to hear something and identify what it is so that our minds can then take over again.
Mm-hmm.
And we can get all involved in the surface of life, which is what we all exist in. So that stillness is such a powerful, powerful place. Some people reach it through meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Some people reach it through creativity, through craft, through art. Some people reach it through being in nature, sitting by a stream and just watching the water go by, and the mind becomes still. And there's an awareness that comes about that is so enlivening and life, really. It's just life.
Yes. It reminds me, when I hear you talking about stillness, it reminds me quite a bit of Buddhist philosophy and being mindful. Are you influenced at all by spirituality or Buddhist philosophy?
Well, I have read so many different teachers,
mm-hmm.
and I find that the Buddhist philosophy is certainly one that I can say, yeah, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I think people who meditate, who have spiritual practices, whether they pray or whether they meditate or walk in nature or sit quietly or read or reflect on what they've read, I think all of us can find our own path. We're all on our own path, and it's important to recognize that perhaps and discover teachers who can support us discovering that stillness within and discovering the path that is best for us.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I have spiritual practices. None of them are necessarily tied to any specific religion.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely to have spiritual practice, whatever works for the individual, I think is really essential for us to kind of step back from the pace of life and the things that are going on in the world that cause so much pain to so many human beings, to recognize that we all contribute energy to our daily life and to everyone we meet, and the energy that we put out is going to make a difference.
Yes,
so the more
really
peaceful
is.
The energy is, the more peaceful we know we can be and we can support other people being.
Mm-hmm. You have a quote on your website, and you say, to live consciously in the stillness of the present moment is the joy of being. And I love that. I think
it
that
really
says
is.
It right
Thank
there.
You so much. Mm. It is the joy of being, and it is about being, with almost with a capital B.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Being in this moment with you is both an honor and a privilege, and I feel it very deeply and appreciate so much the opportunity to talk about my mother and my children and my siblings and HB, who were such an incredible part of that time and
well,
still continue to be.
Yes, how did your relationship with HB, your husband, did it change through this process? Did it deepen your bond? How did it change?
I think that because his mother died at the same time that my mother was dying and we were apart, that experience helped us to understand what the other person was experiencing,
mm.
just the loss of someone you always expect to be there. I mean, all of us who have a mother living, we can't really imagine her not being there. And perhaps it's the same for our fathers, too. So understanding his loss, which occurred before mine, and I loved his mother, Lucy. She was just an incredible woman. And he absolutely loved my mother, Enid. So we both experienced, I don't know that it changed our relationship, but I think to use your word deepen, I deepened it knowing that death is inevitable, death is something that we all face, and that our relationship with death, I think, is what changed.
Mm.
Both of us changed our relationship with death and now no longer fear it, can talk about it easily, which we do, have it be a part of life, which of course it is.
Absolutely.
So it didn't change it so much as deepen it and broaden it.
Oh, that's
to be able to talk about things that we perhaps had not dwelt on much before that time.
Mm. Now, what about your relationship with your daughter. I because this was such a intimate relationship that you had with your mother at this point in her life, I wonder if that, I don't know, reflected any difference or in your relationship with your daughter, if that's changed at all, if both of you have a different appreciation or vision for a mother-daughter relationship?
Well, I think what changed for us, definitely deepened. Anna, my daughter, is one of my very, very closest, dearest female friends, as well as being my biological daughter.
Oh.
And we are so fortunate. There's a small part of the book where I speak about her approaching me and confronting me when she was 19 years old with an experience that she and I had had that she needed to get closure on, and it was so brave of her and so courageous of her, and it was a life-altering experience for us both because it allowed us to become friends and allowed us to speak with our own voice together and never withhold anything and be totally open, which we continue to do today.
Mm, wonderful.
And I think that the part that she played in the process deepened my respect and admiration for her because she was so supportive. She had, in fact, when she was in college, she had been a nurse's aide, and she had dealt with death in geriatric wards. And I think that her experience with death helped me enormously because she was able to tell me about the signs, physical signs of death, and know what to expect.
Okay.
Not that they were foremost in my mind, of course,
mm-hmm.
but when the time came, I recognized and remembered that those signs that she had told me were present and realized what was going on. So her own experience played a part in the process. Her love for her grandmother, her love for me, her support of us both were tremendous. And following the death of my mother, she was so, so supportive. In fact, she had asked my mother if she would contact her after she died in some way, let her know that she was okay, visit her on her way to the beyond. And my mother was so readily agreed. She said, yes, tell her I will do that. So after her death, my daughter was with HB at the time, and she, in fact, did have an experience where she believes that her grandmother made her presence known after she had died so that my daughter could have that connection with her, which was very powerful.
That is powerful.
Yeah,
did you include that in the book?
Yes, I included that in the book. I
wonderful.
Included other amazing things that happened. My father, who'd been dead for 21 years by the time my mother's death occurred, he actually alerted me with his voice, which was so astonishing, while I was with my mother sitting peacefully. I was sitting peacefully downstairs and just having a quiet, quiet moment, and I suddenly heard my father's voice call my name.
Mm.
And to hear your father's voice after 21 years was quite shocking. And so to know how he helped that situation, I put that into the silence as well. I wrote about it to HB, and therefore it is in the book,
mm-hmm.
and that was astonishing and marvelous.
Mm.
So I never told my mother it had happened. I decided to...
Oh, you didn't?
No, I never told her that. I just kept that to myself and didn't know how she would respond to that, so
mm-hmm.
I didn't tell her.
Do you feel that having gone through this whole experience and the amazing experiences that encompass it, do you feel that you're a changed person, a different person, and I mean, obviously you are in some way, but I'd like to know how you feel differently moving into the next part of your life.
Yeah, that's such a great question, Juanita. Well, I know that the experience made a friend of death for me,
mm-hmm.
That I know so completely in the essence of my being that to live life in every moment is absolutely essential to have the richest experience one can. And to get closure on things that are really important, things left unsaid in relationships that may have broken down years ago, I think it's really a wonderful opportunity that I gained from this time with my mother to see how essential that is. She was able to get closure with people who I never dreamed she would get closure with. And
yeah,
I was
right.
just amazed and admired her so much and respected her so
mm.
much for that. And so knowing that, I've done a lot of work since her death, making sure that my relationships are current, that I have left nothing unsaid, and that I live in the moment as much as possible,
mm-hmm.
and live life very fully, and keep the creative process going all the time, because I think that is what makes life so such an adventure and so thrilling.
That's what it's really all about anyway, isn't it?
It seems that way to me.
Judith, what is your website?
My website is www.judithashley.com.
Okay.
And in there I have my book, and I have some haiku, some poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have some weaving that I do and some photography that HB does. And so if people want to get to know me better or get to know HB better, then they can go to that website and see who we are and what we do.
You're very creative people. I encourage listeners to go to your website and have a look, because you've got
thank you
beautiful
so much.
Stuff there. Yeah. Well, it's just been such a pleasure talking with you today, Judith. I thank you so much for coming on to the program and talking about Into the Silence and your amazing journey. And we just really encourage people to check out your book and go to your website. This is just, you know, just so, so powerful. And I thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you, Juanita. It's been an honor and a privilege. I appreciate it very much.
Wonderful. You know, did you have any final thoughts you want to share? We have a little bit of time left.
Final thoughts are to encourage listeners to find the stillness within, however they do that, and to get complete in their lives and to live joyfully in the moment.
Wonderful. Thank you, Judith.
Thank you, Juanita.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, listeners, there you go. We've been talking with Judith Ashley, her book, Into the Silence, The Power of Stillness in Living and Dying. And I just really, really encourage you to check out this book. It's wonderful, and I'm sure you've already figured that out from this interview today. So please do have a look for it in local and online booksellers, as well as Judith's website, judithashley.com. So thank you so much for tuning in and listening to Inside Scoop Live today. I'm Juanita Watson, and until next time.
Blog Talk Radio.